Good morning. It is really good to be back with you again. I've looked forward to getting back to recording and then spending time with you on Wednesday morning or whatever time you view this video. I trust that you had a very Merry Christmas and that you've had a Happy New Year. And I'm really looking forward to 2021. But before I get to talking about that, let me just mention that if you want your notes and you're not receiving them, these are scriptures that we're going to talk about. These are some few comments, particularly about what words mean, where it's very critical to understand that. And if you've got a printer, after we send them to you, you can print it, and thus you're not trying to write down or take notes, as I know many of you do. I have one individual who said they just go back over it and spend really a couple of hours doing it. So this will help you if you want those. You can send us a note on our ministry Facebook page and just tell us you want the notes, a private message, or you can private message to Patricia Dudley on Facebook, or you can send a email, if you prefer that, to info@mintonwilliams.com, and we'll be happy to get you on those notes, and we'll continue to send them until you don't want them anymore. I mentioned that I was excited about 2021, and I am because of what the Lord has promised us. So let's go to the Lord now and thank Him for what He's about to do in our lives in His kingdom. Father, we look forward to this year of life with You. I thank You that You are our Lord, You are our King, and we say to You, Kingdom of God, come on this earth. Will of God, be done on this earth. And Father, we submit to You, we open our heart to You, and we say, use us as You will, and we give You, Jesus, all the glory for what You're about to accomplish in this earth, in us as individuals, in us maybe as our corporate body that where we worship, and also through us to the world. Again, Kingdom of God come, will of God be done on this earth. Amen. So be it. I mentioned I'm excited about 2021. Why? Because we just got rid of 2020? No, some of the same things are going on in 21 as they were in 20. I'm excited because of what I believe the Lord wants to do during these last days, the times that we live in. Some of you may have seen the video that I recorded, a very short one, I think it's 12 or 13 minutes, on the 22nd of December. On that morning, I was awakened early. I received a word of the Lord. Don't mean I heard anything with my audible ears, but I knew Psalm 119, verse 126, just rose up in me. So I went ahead and got up and looked at it. And it really surprised me, but at the same time, it excited me. The Lord says in that scripture, it is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken thy law. It is time for the Lord to act. Now, that's not me praying to Him. That's me reading what He said. So can you imagine what I did? I went right back declaring it back to Him. And that, I believe, is an indication to me of what He wants to do, not only with what's going on in our nation with elections or with unrest, but also in the spiritual realm, what He wants to do as He prepares His bride, the bride of Jesus, for Jesus, as He prepares us and it brings more into the kingdom. I'm excited about what He's going to do. I mentioned in the video that one pastor that I listened to has prophesied it'll be the year of healing, of walking in health, of great revival. And it's all going to take place through the local church, which means you and I get to participate in it. And I look forward to that. Yes, things are still going on, but I'm not focusing on that. We're looking at what the Lord is planning to do. It is time for You to act, Lord. Now, I really liked the Bible in Basic English translation, BBE. It says, it's time, O Lord, for You to let Your work be seen. Now, that means that He could do something like part the Red Sea or stop the Jordan River. Or He could use you and I to do things like He did with Jonathan when they were outnumbered as the sands of the sea are to about 2,000 people. And that's what excites me, that we get to be a part of this end time for such a time as this. And I've told you already, I believe the Lord has prepared us during this past year with everything He's taught us. So as we think about this then, as we get excited about it and look forward to it, we need to also realize what the Word says. That as we act on His Word, believing it, results begin to come, and maybe even before results begin to come, what does the Word promise us? That we're also going to have persecutions come against us. And this is why I think what He's asked us to share together in January and February is so important, because how we react to this is critical. We can be in great joy and peace when the miracles are happening, but what are we going to do when the persecution comes? Are we going to let it in us? Are we going to turn to fear? Or are we going to stay in peace? And what we're going to learn together is that that's a choice that I have to make. That's a choice that you have to make. And we can be confident that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, our two most trusted helpers we have on this earth, are going to be working with us to stay in this, what in this series I'm entitling, His Way in Peace is Peace. It's my choice. His Way is Peace. It's my choice. So I want you to go with me to John 14, verse 1. And as we go there, let me just mention to you that peace is not the absence of conflict, Bible peace. Bible peace is being at ease, at rest, when there's times of trouble, when there's times of persecution. In other words, it's thriving in troubled times. And that's what we need to begin to see ourselves as being able to do and walk in that confident trust that we have. So John 14, the first verse, Jesus is talking to His disciples His last few days with them. And He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me." Now, put yourself in the disciples' place. And I know we shared a little bit of this in the last series we did, but we're going to spend 8 weeks together, maybe nine, going through this series. Because I am confident that the Lord wants us to stay in peace no matter what our enemy throws at us. No matter what's going on with our nation, we need to be seen as a light that's shining brightly. And being in peace, I believe, the Lord is showing us is the key part of it. But think about His disciples. 3 years they've given to Him. And now all of a sudden He tells them He's going away when they thought He was going to set up a kingdom on the earth. Think about the emotions they were having. Have I wasted my time? What's going on? Yet, He gives them what I would say is a command. Now, King James and my New American Standard just says, "Let not." But I want us to see this is a command. The Amplified Bible says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And then it amplifies trouble, distressed and agitated. Complete Jewish says, "Don't let yourself be disturbed." So you'd see the command part of this. The Weiss translation says, "Let not your heart continue to be agitated." Wow. But I really like the Passion. So let me read that one to you. "Don't worry or surrender to your fear." Now that word surrender is really important, I believe, because we said it's my choice. "For you believe in God, now trust and believe in Me also." And does that sound like something we just looked at? Faith and trust or unbelief? "Trust and believe in Me also, and don't surrender to your fear." Now, the word for trouble here in the Webster's Dictionary is the Greek word terasso, and it means, according to Thayer's, to be agitated or troubled. Today, in our dictionary, troubled means concerned, worried, anxious, to be stirred up, or upset. Now, you say, well, that's not fear. You're going to see as we go through this study that those words that we just used are running buddies to fear. One leads to the other if we don't deal with it. The word terasso also has this connotation, inward commotion. So it's our inside man. It's not just what we see with our flesh. It can mean take away calmness of mind, being disquieted or restless. Now listen to these. It can also mean to strike with dread and fear. And you're actually going to see that phrase in a verse that we look at later on, not today. It can mean make anxious or distressed. And it really means perplex the mind by suggesting doubts. And isn't that how our enemy works? Isn't that how he gets fear created? So let's look at this phrase, let not your heart be troubled. Now I want to start by what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, don't try to let your heart be troubled, or try not to get troubled. It says, don't. We said it's a command, so what does that emphasize? The fact that we can do it. Yet most people would say, I can't help that. That's just the way I am. Or if you're like me and time's gone by, I begin to reason, to think about how is this going to happen. There are things going on in this world today, in this nation today, that I refuse to let myself think, how is this going to come about? How is man going to do it? No, I don't even go there. How is God going to do it? No, I'm not even going there. I'm going to let him work at it. I'm going to look at this and I'm going to stay in peace in my inner man and have a joy about me as I look forward to 2021. Some people even believe, you know, it's good to have a little bit of worry. Some would say, if I don't worry, then does that mean I don't care? No, not at all. No fear. Not worrying, some people would say when they say I don't means I don't care, that's just not accurate. The caring comes because of how we want people to come in the kingdom. The caring comes because of the impact we want the Lord to have through us. So a little fear is not good. No fear doesn't mean you don't care. And so we need to get that straight in my mind. He is saying, let not your heart be troubled. You let not your heart be troubled. And we're the only ones that can do that. We can't ask the Lord, Lord, take this trouble from me, because he's told us it's going to come. We can't look to our spouse, our sisters, our brothers, to anyone else, our pastors, to take it away. The only fear we want to have is that awe and reverence of our Lord. So don't let not something I allow. And again, you're going to get bombarded with thoughts, but we're going to see we have a powerful weapon that we can use to defend them and to overtake them. So we need significant mind renewal in this. Now, sometimes I found myself saying, I'm trying not, Lord, to get upset. And that's, he's corrected me. That's not what he wants. Don't get upset, Minton. That's what I hear. It's not something I'm trying. And so it's wrong to think that I can do it. Now, when I say that I can do it, I'll explain that in just a moment. These things are going to come against us, but we don't have to let it in. And how do we start? By believing the words of Jesus, by acting on them. And what do we know? When we get commands, grace comes with it. Now, I've told you, sometimes I find myself saying or thinking, I'm trying not to, or I just can't do it. And you know what? I was right. Because I cannot do it of myself. But I'm not of myself. I am a new creation, joined in union with Jesus. Look at 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, the 13th verse. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It reads this way in New American Standard. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God. And then this is the phrase that I want you to see. Talking about the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So do you begin to see then? Do you get a glimpse? That we can deal with fear, and how can we do it? By letting the Word of God work in us. Now, I've got to give you some other translations. The Amplified says that you welcomed it, you did not receive it as the Word of mere men, but as it truly is, the Word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe. And listen to what it says it's going to do. exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust in and rely on it. That's what the Word says it will do in us. The Bible in basic English says it's the Word of God which has a living power in you. The Passion Translation says the Word continues to be an energizing force. That dunamis power in you who believe. Now, King James says effectually worketh. We've used the word work. The word there is energeo, which is the Greek word from which we get what? Energy. And this is saying that you're going to get energy, you're going to get an internal power through the word in whatever area of our life we need. Same is true of healing. Same is true in this, talking about getting rid of fear and walking in peace. And how does the word work? How does faith work? Faith works by love. So in all this that we're doing, when we get agitated, our love walk can't wane. We've got to keep that strong, even when people are doing things to us that we don't like. Doesn't mean we can't bind the demons and stop the attacks, but it does mean we have to walk in love so that His Word in us will have this effectual power. Going 7:24. Now look at Romans 1:16. Let me reaffirm this. You know this verse. I know you do. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. For it is what? The power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. So what is this good news of Jesus? What is this word that we're studying today? It is the power of God unto salvation. And what does salvation encompass? Well, it means deliverance, preservation, safety, soundness, healing, and it's talking about our total being, spirit, soul, and body. Not just the physical body, but that soulish realm where what? The disciples were feeling all that emotion, having all those thoughts. But we've got to see that the Lord wants our total being to be at peace. Now, we said, this verse reads, let not, the original verse we looked at, let not your heart be troubled. And what I want you to see is when we talk about heart here, I believe we're talking about a combination of the unseen man in us, our spirit man, who we really are, with the soul that we possess, our mind, our will, our emotions, in other words, our thoughts, not our brain, but that part that lives on with us. So that total being, we can begin to see that His Word is working in me, and that power of God is working to the point that it enables me, it gives me the grace to walk free from the fear that tends to rise up, the dread, the anxiety, the worry that we're to lay aside and walk in His peace. Now, I want you to go to Psalm 32, and we're going to look at three verses here. There's a phrase we're going to see, and that's why I'm going to this verse. But I want to start in verse 7, because it really describes who the Lord is for us. Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with songs of deliverance. So if we've got troubled times going, where do we know we can run to? The Lord. And then it gets to verse 8, which is the verse that I want to talk about, but I want to read 9 also before I really get into 8. 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And then verse 9, don't be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include a bit and bridle to hold them in check. Now, what does that bit and bridle do? It turns their head. It forces. It puts pressure. It'll hurt if they don't yield to it. And that's not how the Lord deals with us. The Passion Translation for verse 9 says, don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've not been before. And saints, that's what's about to happen in 2021. He's going to take us up, come up higher, We're going to see things and be doing things places that we have not been before. Now look back at 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way, and that's the phrase I want you to look at, which you should go. So he's going to get us pointed in the right direction. He's going to tell us how to walk in that direction, and we need to stay what? In the way that he's teaching us. Now, you've seen that I've called this message the way of peace, or his way is peace. And this phrase, the way of, or the ways of, or the paths of, when I did searches on it, I found 8 pages of verses with this phrase in it. But let me just read you a couple of them, because I want you to begin to get a focus of who we can be when we walk in the way that he's instructing us. Look at Psalm 128. Psalm 128. And I want you to pay attention to the first verse, particular attention to the first verse and to the last verse, and we'll emphasize it when we get through. It starts out, "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord." Well, we've already talked about that's the only fear we need to have, that awe of him. And then look at what it says, "who walks in his ways." So there's the phrase. And then these next verses describes how you and I can live as the righteous of God, those who have been made righteous by accepting Jesus and his sacrifice. It tells us how we can live. "You shall eat the fruit of your hands. You will be happy. It'll be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children, and look at how it closed. Peace be upon Israel." Which we know is a type of who we are today. So how did this psalm open? By saying, when we walk in his ways, all these things are going to be ours, and peace will be upon us. Now, I've told you that this is a choice we need to make. So I want to look at the flip side of that. We're going to look at a couple of verses. Isaiah 59, and we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 59, verses 7 and 8. And now this is about those who don't choose to walk in his way. I would say who don't choose life. It says, "Their feet run to evil. They hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways," or might I just say, in their ways. And verse 8 just says it plainly. "They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks, and they've made their paths crooked, and whoever treads on them does not know peace." So what is it emphasizing here? There's a way of life that will come when we don't walk that way of peace. Now, believers, those who are born again, who have a right to walk in this way, can choose not to. But it begs to me the question is, why does it refer to as evil? In verse 7. And I believe it's evil because they're walking in fear of lack, of not having what they need. And what does that do? It just binds them up. It keeps them away from the way of peace. And what does this fear really come to do? What the devil came to do, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let's look at one more. Let's go to Romans, the third chapter, the 16th verse, Romans 3:16. We're going to start in 16, and we're going to go through 18. Now, these are short little verses, and I'm going to read them to you in the New King James. And remember, this is talking about those who are unrighteous, who don't walk in this way of peace, or it can be talking about believers who make the choice not to walk in it. It simply says, "Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." So you see all the things we've talked about encapsulated in these short three verses. Let me read you the Amplified. Verse 17, particularly, it says, "They have no experience in the way of peace. They know nothing about peace, for a peaceful way they don't even recognize." Saints, that's not you and I. That's not who we are designed to be. When we get over into worry and fear, we're playing right in the devil's hand to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Let's look at one more. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, the 2nd verse, Jeremiah 10:2. And I think this one really is very instructive to us, and it's why we are studying how to walk in the way of peace. "Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations." Now, why do I read that? It says for us not to learn the way of the nations. Now, what that says to me is if I don't learn His way of peace, what is going to be my default that I learn? The way of nations. Do you see that? If we don't first learn His way of peace, then we're going to migrate back where? Into the world, where we were before we were saved, where many believers are because they've not renewed their mind to who they really are. And what do we find ourselves doing then? Migrating back and putting ourselves in a position for stealing, killing, and destroying to reign and rule. So that's key, I believe. Now let's go to Isaiah 55, because we've talked a lot about thoughts. And I know that we've read this one a couple of times in recent weeks, but I want you to just see these words that we've read before, because I don't think we got down to verse 12, which is where we're going to end up in this. About his thoughts, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, my ways, declares the Lord." Now, this is written to Old Covenant, but what do we know? We've been given the mind of Christ. We've been given this word so we can begin to learn His thoughts. That's what He wants us to do. 9 continues, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And to these people they were. But again, I say, you and I have the mind of Christ. "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater." And then this is where we stop most time in this verse, in this series of verses. "So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the manner that I sent it." But what do we know? What have we studied? When we speak God's word in faith, when we say, "Kingdom of God come," what's coming? When we say, "Will of God be done on this earth," what do we know? It's coming because we are declaring His thoughts and His words. Now look at verse 12. "For you will go out with joy." And you're going to be led forth, how? "With peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into shouts of joy." Hallelujah. We're going out with joy, and we're going to be led by this peace that we've begun to talk about. Now, in Psalm 32:8 earlier, we saw that the Lord said, "I will instruct you in the way that you should go." And He's going to keep His eye on us. Let's look at a few verses that reinforces this with us, and I think will give us courage to act. We're going to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're going to be looking at verse 32 and 33. Now, I have left these in your notes, and I'll tell you why in just a second. I've given you these in your notes. It says, "I shall run the way of thy commandments, for thou wilt enlarge my heart." I shall what? Run the way. There's that phrase again. The way of thy commandments, for thou wilt enlarge my heart. And then look what it says. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." So what's He telling us? He's going to teach us how to run the way, and He's going to teach us how to stay in that way. And what I want to do, I just want to stop right here and let's together confess this. I'm going to read it twice, so I just ask you to read it with me where I've placed it on the notes. And those of you who don't have them and are looking in your Word, just read your translation. Don't worry about trying to repeat what we're saying. So all together now. I shall run the way of thy commandments, for thou wilt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. One more time. I shall run the way of thy commandments, for thou wilt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it until the end. Hallelujah. That's who we are going to grow to be. To learn how to do it, to walk in it, and to keep it until the end. Acts 2:28. Let me just give you some more. And Acts 2:28 is quoting part of Psalm 16. And it says, Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. I would say the God kind of life that He's made known to us. Thou shalt make me, what? Full of joy with thy countenance. So there's the ways of life. And what do we see that we saw in Isaiah 55? Joy and peace. Full of joy in this way of life. Proverbs 3. And we're going to read six verses. The first six verses of this chapter. Proverbs 3. And it's really leading up to this phrase that we've been looking at in the way. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now, do you see that's what we've just been reading in Psalms and even in Acts? For length of days and life, length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Now, we quote that a lot of times and say, when we keep the word, it'll add length of days and years of life to us. But what else does it give us? And peace. You know, I love Psalm 91, that He'll give us a long life. But that's not just what it says. He will give us a long, satisfied life. Might I say, a long life full of joy and peace. Let's continue in verse 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now He's giving us clues here as to how He's leading us to do this. What are we to do? We're to meditate on it. We're to get it down deep inside us as we enlarge our heart that we saw earlier. Verse 4 then says, So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So we're not looking at what the world's going on. We're not trying to decide how do I act based on what's happening in the world. We are looking back to His Word, to getting it in our heart and letting it lead us with that peace and joy we saw earlier. And then look at verse 6. In all your ways, so in every path we walk on, everything we do, the way of life, what? Acknowledge Him. In other words, the path that we're going to walk on, all of our ways are what? His ways, as we acknowledge Him. And then look at the second part. And He will make your paths or your ways straight. Now again, the devil may try to knock you off that path. But the righteous get up and keep going. So He's given us clues here. He's telling us how He's going to walk with us, how He's going to guide us with His eye upon us through His Word and the Spirit that's in us as He leads us on these paths of life. Now just look over at the second chapter, and I want to read verses 11 and 13. Not only will His Word get us on the right path, I want you to see what else it will do for us. Verse 11. Discretion will guard you. Understanding, I might say revelation knowledge, will watch over you or will keep you. Verse 12. And what's it going to do? It's going to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. So do you see here what he's doing? That when we have the knowledge of his way and walk in it, it will keep us from going or stepping aside to that way of evil. Now it gets better. So let me just read 12 again. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, so that we don't yield to what the world's saying. And then 13 says, for those who leave the path of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. Now, why do I read that? Because that is telling us that the devil can't make you go that way. It's a choice that we make to walk away from the ways of the Lord, from his righteous ways. Again, it's a choice we have to make. He will deliver you and I from the way of evil. Now, let's see some examples of this. Let's go and look at David. Now, David is a great one for us to look at because he had a revelation of what we're going to, how we're living in this dispensation of grace. 2 Samuel, 22nd chapter. 2 Samuel 22, and we're going to look at verse 22. Now, I want you to think about David. He made a lot of mistakes. He sinned. He sought forgiveness. He valued the way of the Lord, which led a man to receive forgiveness. And I want you to see how he thought about himself in this verse. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. Now, what do we know from that? His heart was right. Did he miss it? Yes. Was he perfect? No. Is that just like us? Absolutely. But how do we need to see ourselves? As I keep the ways of the Lord. And if I miss it, I don't let that dominate me. I don't let that bring condemnation. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not acted wickedly against my God. Now that's an interesting phrase there, because remember we talked about evil ways before? Acting wickedly, this says. When we make a choice not to walk in his ways, that's what we're doing. Now look on down at verse 31. And we get a glimpse again about how David saw walking and keeping the ways of the Lord. As for God, his way is blameless. And you might say his way is complete. I would also say his word is proven, which is what the next phrase says. The word of the Lord, in other words, his way, is tested. And when I read that tested, I think King James, in talking about David, says he assayed or he tried Saul's armor, but because he had not assayed it, he had not tested it. But what do we know about the Word of God? We don't have to try it. We know from the get-go that his Word is tested. It is proven. His way, by his Word, is the right way. And then verse 32. Or 31 continues and says, he is a shield to all who take refuge in him. Now that makes me think about what? A shield of faith. To extinguish all the fiery darts. So when we stay in his way, we've got that shield of faith with us. 32, for who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock besides our God? And I would say there is none. God is my strong fortress. And look at this last phrase. And he sets the blameless in his way. Now, if you keep reading these verses, which we're not going to do, you're just going to see more evidence of the goodness of God in your life being manifested as we walk in his ways. He sets us the blameless, not the perfect, but those whose sins have been wiped away, who've been forgiven. He sets us in his way when we see ourselves as David saw himself. Glory to God. Go with me to one more, to Genesis, the 18th chapter. I've shared many times that the Lord picked Abraham, for a reason, because he would teach his children. and we make that point. But I want you to look at what this verse, these verses in Genesis 18, we're going to start in 17, really what it says, because I'm more attuned to this phrase now, in the way. Verse 17, Genesis 18. And the Lord said, should I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? And this is when they were on the way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, to check it out and then destroy it. Verse 18, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. You and I are what? Blessed. Have the blessing of Abraham because of what Jesus did. And then we get to 19, which is where we want. For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children, he may teach his children and his household after him to do what? To keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord might bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. So why did he pick the Lord? Not just to teach his children, but so that he would teach them and instruct them how to walk in the way of the Lord, in the way of what? Righteousness and justice. Now, we're going to see some scriptures later on this where we see of how righteousness ties to peace. So I'll just make you aware of that. And you know what? There is no reason why the same thing cannot be said of you and I. That we've been chosen because we've learned the way of the Lord and we're teaching the way of the Lord so that we can do what? Keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. There's no reason that cannot be said about you and I today. None whatsoever. Now let's look at in our covenant, and a lot of these we're going to just look at the phrases. We're not going to actually turn to everything except the first one. So head to Luke, the first chapter, verse 76. Luke, the first chapter, a long chapter. And we're going to look at starting 76 and go through 79. Now, we looked at a little bit of this earlier in our last study, but I want to go through it again because we're talking about his ways, particularly his ways of peace. So verse 76, talking about John the Baptist, and you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare what? His ways. The ways that he would walk, the message that he would bring, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us. In other words, with which Jesus is coming. Jesus, the way. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Now look at 79. This sunrise from on high that's going to visit us, our Lord Jesus, will shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. And what's he going to do? To guide our feet in the way of peace. John the Baptist came to show us the way of Jesus. And what do we see the way of Jesus is? To guide our feet in this way of peace. In other words, nothing between us and heaven. That's what the angels meant when they said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That what had been a war between heaven and earth, man and God, is what? Now gone. Glory to God. The way of peace, his way. John 14, verse 6. And let's just look at the first part of that. Red letters again. Jesus talking says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he said, I am the way. Not one of the ways, the way. So what is our only way to the way of peace? It's Jesus. And it's his way. Now, do you remember in Isaiah 9, the sixth chapter, a list of titles of Jesus? of descriptors of him. It called him what? The Prince of Peace. And the way of the Prince of Peace is peace. So we might say Jesus is really, if we put these two together, the way of peace. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 14. Ephesians 2, verse 14. And I just want to read the very first part of it. For he, talking about Jesus, himself. Now, in some teaching I've been doing in healing school at High Point Church, where we attend and have the honor of teaching on some Thursday mornings in the healing school, for a number of services at the last part of last year, this phrase and all it encompasses was very important. He himself took my infirmities. He himself took my diseases. He himself took chastisement. And this says what? Simply, he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. Now, I can take that then and begin to say a couple of things. My peace is living. And then I can take it even further and say, because of the union I have with the Spirit, in my spirit, my peace lives in me. His peace lives in me because he himself lives in me. So I want you to see, you have a living peace already inside you. And isn't that what we learn in Galatians 5 when the fruit of the Spirit's listed in 22 and 23? What are the first three? Love, joy, and peace. We talked about love early on, and then we talked about joy, and here's peace. These attributes of Jesus are in the Holy Spirit, and his Spirit is in your spirit in union with it. So the fruit of the Spirit is in your spirit alive, waiting for us to bring forth that fruit to make it evident in our life. Now, if we take that and look at between what's in between love and peace, and that's joy. And we saw that again in Isaiah 55. Be led forth how? With joy and peace. Acts 2:28. And we looked at this one earlier, I believe. And it says, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me what? Full of joy with thy countenance. So I just want to reiterate this joy and peace. Now, I'm not saying, and me of all people is not one to preach on joy just being, I don't know, even know how to say it. I am joyful on my inside, even though there are times that I'm really serious. That's a big part of who I am. But there is great joy in me. And those closest to me will see it a lot more than I probably show it on camera. And that's an area I'm working on, I will admit. But I have great joy, and I have that because I found peace. When I wasn't in peace, I had no great joy. And that's why I can be excited about 2021 when I look with my eyes and don't see things that would normally bring joy nor peace. Because I'm not looking at things that are seen, but what? Things that are not seen. 2 Corinthians, 13th chapter, 11th verse. Finally, brethren, rejoice. There's joy. Be made complete. We've seen that before in this study. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. Live in the way of peace. And look what it says. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Now let's end today by going to Isaiah, the 26th chapter. Because this describes how we can live. No fear, his peace. attacked with dread, cast it away. No fear. Stay in His peace. Verse 3 of 26, and I'm going to read it in King James today. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Now, the New American Standard says, the steadfast of mind Thou will keep in perfect peace. And now, on both of these, I've left off what? The last phrase. So I want you to see, when our mind is steadfast on Him, then we're walking in His way. And that way is what? The way of peace. And when we are steadfast and walking in His way, this says the Lord will keep him in perfect peace. Now, why do we know now from our previous study that all that is possible? Because where does it start? The last phrase. Because He trusts in Thee. When we place our trust in Jesus, in His Word, and we walk in His Word, in His way, as we've seen, and we act on that trust, then that walking in the way, walking in His way, will keep us in peace. In fact, it's just not peace. It's perfect peace. Jesus is my peace. I'm in Jesus. I made one spirit with Him. I can declare today, I am in peace because I am in Jesus. Say that with me. I am in peace because I am in Jesus. Let's go back to where we started as we conclude today. John 14:1. How did it end? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. And what do we know? That believing is trusting. And so do you see that when we trust in Him, walk in His way, then His ways are what? The way of peace. And He will keep us from getting off into evil. And He will keep us in that way of peace. I hope this has encouraged you today. I don't know where 2021 is going exactly in terms of physical things happening on this earth, but this I do know. The Lord said it is time for Him to work, and He's going to use you and I. And I'm looking forward to us walking in His ways this year as His kingdom comes and His will is done on this earth. Walk in His ways. Go in peace, and we're just going to pick this up. Now, we're talking about no fear, but we're focusing on what? Peace. Be blessed. We'll see you next week.